560, 1987. The greatest Indianapolis 500 races in 60 minutes on FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
Welcome to 560. I'm Tony Donahue. In the next hour, we will present the 1987 Indianapolis 500 broadcast. In addition to the historic broadcast, courtesy of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, Speedway historian Donald Davidson will add his perspective on this race. We take you back to May 24th, 1987, and the voice of the 500, Paul Page.
This is Paul Page. We are back live at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we count in the final 25 minutes now to the start of the Indianapolis 500. During the course of the qualification, there were 69 different cars presented. 64 actually attempted qualifications, 39 qualified, the fastest 33 were chosen. The field average, 207.194 miles an hour. That's 3 miles an hour slower than the field last year, which was at 210.3 miles an hour. In the race itself, we're seeing 9 former winners: Mario Andretti, Bobby Rahal, Rick Mears, A.J. Foy, Johnny Rutherford, Danny Sullivan, Gordon Johncock, Al Unser, and Tom Sneva. 6 rookies: Davy Jones, Fabrizio Barbazza, Ludwig Heimrath, Randy Lewis, Jeff McPherson, and Stan Fox. And of the cars and machines here today, we're seeing an interesting mix of machines: 21 Cosworth engines, 6 Ilmor Chevrolet racing engines, 4 Buicks, and 2 Hondas. Of the chassis, there are 5 Lolas and 28 Marches, and of the 28 Marches, 10 of them are 1986 models and 18 are 1987 models. The front row, absolutely magnificent. Mario Andretti looking for his second Indianapolis 500 win, his first pole position in 20 years at the Speedway. Normally, he's beset by bad luck here. This is not that kind of year for Mario Andretti. It's been a very good month of May, and he already has one victory this season under his belt. He won the first race of the season at Long Beach, California, starting on the pole, leading the entire race, and finishing first. Alongside is Bobby Rahal, the defending 500-mile race champion. One very, very sharp race driver, a very smooth driver, who pulled that victory off in the final 5 miles last year. We look for that kind of excitement again here today. And one of the smartest drivers in the field sits on the outside of the front row, and that is Rick Mears, 2-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. The final ceremony. We are now ready and waiting. Let's go now to Luke Walton.
Here to touch off the greatest spectacle in racing is the chairman of the board of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Mrs. Tony Holman.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
And now, for the 71st time, we are ready to run the great Indianapolis 500-mile race. Rick Mears, Bobby Rahal, and pole sitter Mario Andretti all are set and ready to begin the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Everyone to their feet, each one looking to the safety of these drivers, checking their personal champion to make sure he is ready and all is well. All 33 started. All 33 are rolling. Mario Andretti, Bobby Rahal, Rick Mears roll across the start-finish line. And the pace lap has begun at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to the first turn at Jerry Baker.
Much has been made this month of May, Paul, about the so-called senior citizens who made their presence felt in this year's 500. Simon, Foyt, Mario Andretti, as they come by me now, the average age of the first two rows is 41 and a half years old. The rest of the field, only 35. And with the problems this month, hopes are that those cooler heads up front will prevail in that all-important opening lap. They're in the short shoot between 1 and 2, and Hottie Bell, you've got a beautiful sight coming at you over there.
I tell you, Jerry, it is magnificent. World, this is just a beautiful sight as they're all lined up. Looking back into the field at some of the great race drivers that are here, you see 3-time winner Johnny Rutherford in car 21. Then a couple of rookies, Ludwig Heimrath and Jeff McPherson in row 4. You look back to row 6, and you have the 85 winner Danny Sullivan and the 2-time winner Gordy Johncock in row 6. In row 7, 3-time winner Al Unser Sr. and the 84 winner Tom Sneva. Moving on back through the field, you'll find Al Unser Jr. in row 8. Going back to row 9, Jose Lee Garza back there. In row 10, Jones, Carter, and Pym. George Schneider in row 11. They're beautifully lined up right now. Let's go to Larry Henry in turn 3.
They are absolutely perfectly in lineup coming through. This is a picture postcard start right now. All the cars aligned in rows of three. Beautifully going by. There's the front row, the second row, the third row. They're matched up well going through the turn here. We now have the back rows beginning to form as they go across the north short chute. We're waiting for the back row to come through here, and it does. George Snyder and Steve Chassie bringing up the rear in the field heading to turn four.
The pace car is already in the pits. That's a much better formation than last year when the field was strung out. They exit turn number four and begin to pick up the pace. To call the start for the 71st running of the Indianapolis 500, the voice of the 500, Paul Page.
It's a magnificent formation. The front row cleanly aligned. Mario Andretti begins to accelerate. The green flag is out. Mario Andretti picks up the lead, followed by Rick Mears and Bobby Rahal.
That's the way they are. Andretti's up front. Here's Mears. Here's Rahal. Roberto Guerrero is up fourth place. Dick Simon goes to fifth. And A.J. Foyt's in the number six spot. They're in the short chute. They're number two at Honey Bell.
Down to the yellow line. It's Mario Andretti first. Rick Mears second. Bobby Rahal third. Roberto Guerrero fourth. And Dick Simon fifth. Johnny Rutherford sixth as they streak
up the next.
Let's go
to turn
pit.
One. To turn one quickly.
Somebody has just tagged the wall on the outside of number one, Paul. He's now moving very slowly down along the inside white line. Howdy is coming right at you.
It's Jose Legarza. Jose Legarza in a spin on the first lap, and we are yellow already. And George Snyder, who apparently had a turbocharger fire at the back of his car on the pace lap, pulled into the pits just beyond the start. So already at the Indianapolis 500, Mario Andretti has slowed his machine down. Let's go to Bob Jenkins in the fourth turn.
The field is right here in front of me, and they're moving single file through this area now. They're slowed down. We have a safety truck on the track. It's approaching turn number one now. The field is slowed, and we understand that Poncho Carter may also have a problem. So three cars with a problem here on the opening lap, including the accident in turn one with Jose Legarza.
Well, let's try and reconstruct this if we can. The green flag came out. As we saw them go into the first turn, we saw one car just get a little high, as Jerry Baker was describing the leaders coming by mid-pack. It appears that Poncho Carter and Jose Legarza got together. There was also another car very close there. Poncho Carter is now trying to get his machine back to the pits. It is damaged, and he's in fact having trouble controlling it, having trouble steering the car. There was also a third car in there. We don't yet have an identity on that, but it does not appear that that car was involved in any particular contact. They were coming off of the first turn when it occurred, and it looked as if Poncho Carter and Jose Lee both got totally sideways, and as if Jose Legarza may have touched the wall. And then they both came sliding down across the short chute. Poncho got it under control to some degree, and Jose Legarza went for the grass. And Jose Legarza was able to keep the car under power as well, so we'll have to see exactly what the problems are with each of those machines and identify all of them for you. So before the completion of 2.5 miles, the yellow flag comes out.
Coming up on 560.
Taking incredible advantage of this yellow, Mario Andretti is in and out of his pits.
Welcome back to 560, 1987, on FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
We rejoin the race as the leaders are making their first round of pit stops.
A.J. Foyt rolls into his pits. Gary Gerrold should be close by. Gary?
Yeah, Paul, we're two pits away, and we're trying to keep an eye on A.J. and move at the same time. Everything appears to be routine thus far, but now we've lost sight of him momentarily, scrambling through the Davy Jones pit. Foyt's still in. Remember, he had a problem with low gear at the start of this race. This could be critical now. As he
Gary, let me interrupt you. As Roberto Guerrero in the first turn, Jerry Baker, did he get past Rick?
He got him. He went to the inside, Paul, and he passed him like he was standing still. He's racing, and he's really moving out into number two.
So Roberto Guerrero, the winner at the race at Phoenix, his first IndyCar win, moves into second place now. Gary Gerrold, I apologize for the interruption. Let's come back to you.
Well, it was no problem, Paul. We were just concerned about whether or not Foyt would be able to find first gear or a lower gear when he came down off the jacks. He found it. He got away cleanly.
So the report on A.J. Foyt, the pit stops coming what seemingly is a little early. We're on lap 26 of the leader, and the leader is still Mario Andretti. Rick Mears rolls down into the pit area, past the pylon. He's taking it nice and careful as he comes in. Let's go down to that pit area and Lou Palmer.
Mears comes to a halt at the far south end. Immediately behind him, Johnny Rutherford will be coming into the pit area. They are preparing right now for the pit stop of Roberto Guerrero, and the chase all comes together. together here. Rutherford now running in about sixth position, is in the pit. Mears, meanwhile, is still getting his pit stop arranged. They are about to push him on out of the way. Mears rejoins the hunt. Rutherford picking up tires in addition to the fuel, and we wait patiently for Roberto Guerrero, running in second position now and soon to make his pit stop.
Well, Roberto Guerrero stays out and, in fact, is in turn one at the moment.
Okay, Paul, since the first lap caution, we've been going green for just over 20 laps here.
Look at this, Donald. We have Michael Andretti slowing down drastically on the main straightaway. He's pulled to the inside. Jenkins, come in, Bob Jenkins.
We have a crash in turn number four. Ludwig Heimrath Jr. spins, and he slides to a stop without hitting anything. However, a tire is off the car and going down the racetrack. He did lose the left rear wheel, it appears, when he got down into the grass, but I don't believe he hit anything. The car is now sliding down the banking here in turn number four and is behind one of the safety vehicles. Ludwig Heimrath Jr. apparently is okay. The car not badly damaged, just loss of a left rear wheel.
Taking incredible advantage of this yellow, Mario Andretti is in and out of his pits already. A 17-second stop as they clear debris from Ludwig Heimrath's accident. And here comes the defending champion, Bobby Rahal, as he comes in for a pit stop. Let's go down to Chuck Marlowe.
Right in front of us, Paul. They're changing rubber on the right side and the left rear tire. He's already had a drink of water. He's looking straight up, throws the little drinking glass away. The spritzer refueling. They're making it a full stop, checking both air intakes. On the left and right side, a little douse of water over the fuel intake, and he's up and running.
And so with this yellow light coming on, the caution flag out, most of the cars have decided to make their pit stops.
Okay, it's coming thick and fast now, Paul. And what we were just going to say right before that yellow came out was that there had been only one yellow. And in the 21, 22 laps or so of green, Mario Andretti had moved up to the pack to the point where he had lapped all but the first 11 cars. So the 12th place car was a lap down at the time that that yellow came out.
All right, this yellow is a result of a spin and a tap against the wall by Ludwig Heimrath Jr. The indication is that he is all right, but the car is unable to continue.
In the aftermath of the Heimrath yellow, several cars fell out with mechanical problems.
We're back live at the Indianapolis 500. This is Paul Page, where we've had several incidents in the past few moments. One of them involving young Michael Andretti and another involving Kevin Kogan. They were both pit situations. And so now let's see if we can discover what's happened here. Parnelli, you were watching some of this.
Well, actually, the thing I noticed most was Rick Mears. He came in one lap before the yellow came out. And with that, it's almost cost him a lap. Mario is right up behind him, ready to lap him now. Strictly because he came in a little bit too soon before the yellow came out, and Mario, of course, and the rest of the field pitted under the yellow.
Well, Michael Andretti out of the 500. Apparently a pit fire on the car. Let's go up the pits and join Gary Gerald, who has a report.
Jim Wilson, who works with Michael Andretti's crew, is walking along with us. He has been drenched, obviously, with one of those large buckets of water. Jim, tell us what happened.
As far as I know, I was holding the car up with the air jack, and somebody reached down, and when the fuel probe came out, the fuel gate didn't close, and fuel was spewing out, and all of a sudden just started to get flames around us.
Was anybody hurt there?
Maybe me, I don't know.
Well, we're looking to see. You're gingerly holding on to one hand here. You have some burns on that hand?
I don't think so. I just got a little scorched on my old rear end, I think, a little bit. I'll be all right, though.
All right, Jim. Good luck to you. Jim Wilson, one of the big Husky crewmen for Michael Andretti, walking back with one of the safety people here toward Gasoline Alley, Paul. They had quite an adventure, obviously.
Problems with the Michael Andretti car, the Kevin Kogan car, also being pushed to the garage area. Let's see if Chuck Marlowe is a little closer to giving us a further update on the Michael Andretti situation. Chuck?
Let me see if I can get a microphone in here. Maybe you can hear what he's saying.
Did the heat get up to you?
Well, I did, yeah. It did over on my left shoulder a little bit. That's when I got out in a real hurry.
What about the car?
Michael, what was the biggest cause of the problems out there for you today?
Well, the biggest problem I think that everybody's having is turbulence. The cars were just unbelievable. I didn't expect it. I really didn't. It's not bad when you're behind one car, but when you're behind two or three or four cars, the cars just go all over the place. And I have a feeling that's what happened to AJ Thursday morning now, looking at it. It just, all of a sudden, the car just goes right out from under you.
Okay, there you are. There's a comment on the scene for you, Paul. Michael Andretti.
So at least Michael is okay, and we keep track of this situation. Now we are ready to come back to the green flag. We have 32 laps complete, and Mario Andretti will bring them back.
Mario Andretti is the leader. It's Bobby Rahal running in second. Ari Leyendijk is now running third. Under caution, Roberto Guerrero is fourth. And Danny Sullivan, with some excellent pit work, is now running in fifth place. If you want to go deeper, we show Rich Vogler as sixth, but I think Rich Vogler is coming in, Paul.
All right, so as he creeps down toward the pit entrance, we have a pace car with the yellow flashing lights indicating that we will be going back to the green flag at the conclusion of this lap. The pace car now coming off the turn. Rich Vogler's car sits on the pit apron just in front of it, but rolling, and they will clear evenly as the green flag comes out. And we are back racing at the Indianapolis 500-mile race, and they head down into the first turn. Gary Baker.
And they do so. Johnny Rutherford was the leader of that pack at one point in time. Not here. Here comes, there's Rutherford right there, and Voigt going by us now. Smoothly through number one on this restart, no problem so far. They're into the number two turn, and that is Howdy Bell with Mario Andretti still out in front.
Mario is still out in front as he's about halfway down the backstretch now, and Ari Leyendijk in car number 71 is second as they go to the third turn in Laurie Henry. Mario Andretti, the leader, he is catching Rick Mears. He is trying to keep that lap. He's on the lead lap at the moment, but just by a little bit.
So Mario Andretti coming up behind Rick Mears now in the first turn as we have a report from Bob Jenkins in the fourth turn.
Something is wrong with Bobby Rahal's car. It is limping toward the pit area. He came through four very slowly, just now entering pit road.
Well, Bobby Rahal was running up at the front of the field in third position and then suddenly slowed in the fourth turn as Mario Andretti continues his dominant lead here. Here comes Bobby Rahal rolling down into the pit area. So the back end cowling of the race car comes off, and Steve Horn and that fine crew, led by Jim Prescott, going to work on the car to see what they can do to get that machine back in operating condition. Apparently, Rahal thinks it's repairable. Chuck Marlowe, you're right there.
Well, Paul, when they rolled him in, they took off the back bonnet, and they have two, three, yes, I'm counting them right, three spark plug wires that are off the plugs. How in heaven's name that ever happened, I don't know. But all three of the wires, when they took the bonnet off, the three wires were just dangling. So we'll just wait and see if they get him back.
Well, it's certainly, hopefully, that's all that's wrong with the car. If that was the only thing, I think they would have him back on and have the car going back together. It appears that it's obviously more than that.
Now, on the other hand, that would be a terrible thing to happen when you're running in third place at the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, it sure would. I'd hate to. I'd be mad at somebody.
And as a result of the Rahal car falling out, we now have Roberto Guerrero charging up through the field again. He's on the main stretch and has managed to move himself up into second place as he enters the first turn. Donald Davidson.
Well, Rick Mears was in the interesting situation of being directly in front of Mario Andretti, but being almost a lap down. And for several laps there, he was trying like the devil to keep Mario behind him. But Mario now has got around him, so we now only have four cars in the lead lap.
We've had an indication that Davy Jones's machine is smoking at the back of the car, just a vapor trail, really. Let's go down to Gary Gerald, who has a more complete report.
Well, Paul, the youngest driver in this field and the fastest qualifying rookie, Davy Jones, at age 22, sits in the cockpit now of this Voigt-prepared machine, number 44. They came in smoking badly. It was a dead-stick approach. They've taken the bodywork off. They continue to work at the back of the car. No indication yet as to what the problem may be. It looks like this is going to be, well, it's already been a very long stop, and it could be the end of the afternoon for the rookie, Davy Jones, who just now, in fact, unbuckles the steering wheel. It comes out on top of the cowling, and the 22-year-old rookie from New York is about to unstrap and climb out of the cockpit.
Next on 560.
A wheel has come off of, I believe, Tony Bettenhausen's car, and it was struck by Roberto Guerrero's machine.
Welcome back to 560. 1987. On FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
Mario Andretti dominated the first half of the race, leading all but seven laps as we pick up the action at the start of lap 124.
So 123 laps are now complete. It is still Mario Andretti that leads it. He is being chased by Roberto Guerrero, and Lou Palmer has an observation on that car.
Well, as you look out across the pit area to the line, the pit board man gives information. They were telling him he was 5 seconds behind, then six, then seven from Mario. They were telling him there were 78 laps to go. Then there was nothing else to tell him, absolutely nothing on the pit board, till now. Now they flash to Roberto Guerrero, pit in three.
So we wait for Roberto Guerrero to come in. In the meantime, let's go to Gary Gerald.
Paul, we've now moved up into the Mario Andretti pit, and there's, of course, a tremendous crowd here watching the race leader. He's been the dominant force all along, still showing consistent 200-mile-per-hour laps on his pit board. One of the interested spectators, just a knee away to my left, standing on an ice chest in a toolbox, is the famed actor Paul Newman, one of the owners with Carl Haas. Haas himself leaning over the wall with an unlit cigar in his mouth, nervously tapping away in his clipboard. Newman has not expressed a desire to talk with any media. They don't want to say they're superstitious, but they don't want to take a chance on jinxing anything because Mario's been so dominant thus far. So they all continue to watch here as Andretti continues to circle this over at electrifying speed.
And when you're talking Paul Newman, you're talking one major race fan. He doesn't like to be distracted. Let's go back to Bob Forbes now.
Right, we got AJ, I know it's been a tough month. I know Thursday hurt when you crashed the car, but you got the car back, you rebuilt it, and apparently we're running pretty well out there today.
It was running good. We just had some engine problems. Something started happening, blowing all out of the motor, so that's racing.
So how did the car handle, considering you never had a chance to do a lap until the race started?
The car was working pretty good.
So you did a good job, you and your crew, getting it back.
Thank you.
You'll be back.
All right, A.J. Foyt out of his 30th Indianapolis 500-mile race. And at the moment, it seems that Mario Andretti may just be cruising on his way to victory. He just put lap 127 in the record books. Here comes the second-place car. It is so active. Here, let's go down to the pits again.
Roberto Guerrero arrives at this moment. The car stops. Again, the situation is the air jacks work. We told you earlier there seemed to be a problem. It rocked back and forth. It has solved itself. Vince Granatelli, being very careful, counted precisely twice how many men were over the wall. They want no mistakes now. The fuel is just about completed. The tire change has been attended to. The car is off the jacks, on its way, and that's inside 18 seconds. Roberto Guerrero back in the chase.
And at the same time, Ari Leyendijk's car came in and just missed the mark. John DeCamp, it looked like he hit a crew member, but the fellow appears to be uninjured.
I don't think he's injured, Paul. I think he's badly shaken. But what happened was Ari knocked one of the tires that was laid out for him into the crew member, knocking the crew member down. His car didn't strike the crew member, but the tire did, and it caromed out there.
Still, they continue work on Ari Leyendijk's car. Everybody appears to be all right. At least they're completing their job. And Ari Leyendijk rolls back into the action. In the meantime, the leader. Here is Mario Andretti coming to the pits. We go to Gary Gerald.
Waiting for that familiar red number five to roll up and hit the mark. Frantic arms being waved. Here he comes into our view now, coasting up, still under power, now hits the spot right on target. The drink is refused. He reaches up with his right hand, tries to clean off the visor, the Hanna car wash crew over the wall, a symphony and poetry in motion. Everything looks to be perfect. Car coming down, well, not yet off the jack, waiting to finish the full refueling. Now, Barbosa goes by, Mario comes down, and in 19 and 7,800 seconds, the leader is back on. Of course, there's tumultuous applause from his fans here, Paul.
All right, Mario Andretti screams back into the Indianapolis 500-mile race. The green flag still flies. 129 laps complete. And Ari Leyendijk pulled out of his pits, and then the engine stalled, and Ari just went down to Gasoline Alley and turned left back into the garage area. So let's go to turn three quickly.
Something, we have something off of Roberto Guerrero's car that went way up into the grandstand. I'm not sure whether it hit
somebody.
Let's go
over to Bob Jenkins. Bob?
A wheel has come off of, I believe, Tony Bettenhausen's car, and it was struck by Roberto Guerrero's machine. It did go flying into the grandstand. Now, I
and Bob, let's go down to the pits because Guerrero comes in with a badly damaged car.
We are here in the south pit. The car has arrived. The crew is on it. They are looking over that front end and are about to replace that nose cone area. It is simply a shell piece on the car itself, but they want to get it right aerodynamically. The problem, of course, is the time this consumes. The team is ready for it. This was one of the well-outfitted pits before we began the race. Half shafts and hubs and all of the rest. This piece was ready as well, but they hate taking the time to do it. Nonetheless, making the adjustment to the front of the car now, it's in effect like putting another fender in the middle of the car. They are doing it. They are swarming it. They apparently have the piece in place. Now they are beginning to tape it. Guerrero, as you can hear in the background, continues to rev the engine. They will be ready to go if and when the team has it fully fitted in place. Now, looking at the front end, it appears to be stable. Roberto Guerrero will learn now whether or not his car will be fully stabilized out on the racetrack, aerodynamically sound with a front cone replaced.
He comes out of the pitch. Jerry Baker, pick him up.
He goes into the number one corner below the white line, Paul. Now we'll try to pick up speed. Now moves outside that white line and slowly into the number two spot.
And we have our eyes on Roberto Guerrero in car number four, that bright red machine, as he moves out onto the racetrack as he heads up to the backstretch now and accelerates at the halfway point.
Guerrero hitting Bettenhausen's wheel had deadly consequences as the tire struck a man from Wisconsin in the top row of the grandstand. Lyle Kurtenbach would be pronounced dead shortly afterwards at Methodist Hospital. Speedway historian Donald Davidson.
That wheel, that was just kind of a freak thing because it went straight up in the air, arced over, came down, and then hit a spectator who was standing up in the top row and looking off to one side. Had he seen the wheel coming, he probably could have ducked. If he hadn't have been standing, or if the wheel had been, you know, a foot higher or a couple of feet, you know, the other way, that accident would not have happened to take a spectator's life.
This is Paul Page. We are back live at the Indianapolis 500, where Mario Andretti has just completed his 145th lap in the lead. And in second place, a lap back, is Roberto Guerrero, the winner of the race at Phoenix about a month and a half ago. About eight car lengths back from that is Al Unser in the number 25 machine. He is chasing Guerrero, but Guerrero is not able to... Actually, Al Unser is not able to close in that position. And then Danny Sullivan, Al Unser's teammate, is sitting well back from that. We have a series of update reports now on what has been a very busy Indianapolis 500-mile race. Tom Sneva has been struggling, and Ron Carroll has this report.
All right, Paul, and I'm with John Anderson, who is the chief mechanic on Tom Sneva's car. John, I know you're having some problems.
Yeah, we've lost a turbo hose, but it's caused some other problem in the engine that we're trying to track down right now.
Okay, how close is he running to real racing speed?
He's way off the pace, actually. We're not looking too good at the moment unless we can find what the problem is and get
about,
a headline.
About what speed is he going right now?
I haven't kept that track. I've just been watching the way the others are going around him. And I just don't like the sound. There she goes again. Yeah,
there it goes.
We're obviously on five, so maybe less.
We'll stay and keep watching for you, and good luck to you, John. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, Tom Sneva was running in eighth place and continues to stay there despite his trouble. Let's go down to the south end of the pits, the pit of the second place car, Roberto Guerrero, and join Lou Palmer.
All right, we're watching Roberto Guerrero out there. I'm next to Louis Meyer Jr., who has been keeping track of this race. I'm glad they lured you back out of retirement. But you guys are running like first in class. Can you catch the Lotus with the Ilmor? Is it realistic in, 45 laps?
No, that Ilmor has some more horsepower than we got, and that Lola chassis is a little slipperier, and we're just going to try to sit here and see what happens at the end of the day. Second spot would be real nice right now.
Beyond that, though, you are running race laps, 200 mile an hour plus, so you're ready to go if anything happens to Andretti.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's anybody else out there that's going to catch us. I know Guerrero was just sitting there stroking just a little bit, and when Al started to catch him, he just stood on it a little bit and sucked away from Al. So I think we're in real good shape. It's just that Andretti's putting it on us today.
Fair enough. Louis Meyer Jr., don't retire again. You belong here.
Thank you.
Louis Meyer Jr., Sonny Meyer. To many of us, he is the son of the great three-time winner of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Now let's go to turn two.
As Tom Sneva was coming around this second turn, the car just got out of the groove, and he hit the wall just off of the second turn as you head up the backstretch. He damaged the right side of the wall, seemed to keep it under control, and pulled to the inside edge of the track, and is at about the middle of the backstretch on the inside, just inside the white line in the grass. He did not do a spin. The car, as we look at the tracks now,
see that he got away from the yellow line, started to go wide in the turn, got up into the white, into the gray stuff, and hit the wall as it starts into turn two, Paul.
Tom Sneva climbs out of his car, and that brings the leader in, Gary Gerald.
Mario Andretti is in the pits. He's been here 15, 16, 17 seconds. He rolls away. It was routine all the way. He ducked in very quickly after the incident involving Sneva, and everything appeared to be absolutely perfect for the Newman Haas team.
So Mario Andretti roars out, and the third place car, Al Unser, comes in. Let's go to Chuck Marlowe.
This has to be a very quick pit stop. Car number 25 rolls in. It's up on the jacks. The fuel hose already connected. They look at the rubber. They're not going to change anything. It's fuel. It's just going to be a sprint as far as they can go. Rubber at this moment is not the concern. He keeps the engine running. Al Unser is passed and back to the track.
So Al Unser goes back into the action as well. Mario Andretti stops. Al Unser, the third place car, stops. Roberto Guerrero, that STP car number four, comes into the pits. So we join the pits one more time.
And here in the south pit, Roberto Guerrero comes to a halt. The fuel hose is on. The air jacks are up. They are going to change tires, even though the recent pit stop took place. Both on the front, it is the right rear. The impact wrenches have taken one, two. All three tires are set. Hose is back over the wall. This is a good pit crew. They are ready with more tape on that front end of the car. Place it there, and he's on his way, Paul. It is 19 seconds. Roberto Guerrero joins the chase.
So Roberto Guerrero, running in second place, but still a full lap behind the leader, has now rejoined the circuit.
Coming up on 560.
Now they're about to shut off. There goes the first, second, third switch closed. They've disengaged. He stalls the engine.
Welcome back to 560. 1987. On FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
Mario Andretti has lapped the field as we rejoin the action with 28 laps remaining.
This is Paul Page. We are back live at the Great Indianapolis 500, the 71st running, 172 laps complete, 28 to go. Mario Andretti is the leader of the race. Right behind him is Roberto Guerrero, but apparently Mario caught him in the mirrors and decided, let's not let Guerrero get too close. So he's been running even distance, just pacing ahead of Roberto Guerrero. We watch the Penske pit anticipating a stop by Al Unser. So we look down that line. Chuck Marlowe is there. Should that stop come? Here comes Mario across the line, followed by that car of Roberto Guerrero, but they're just keeping station on one another. At the same time, here comes Al Unser, the third place car. We go to Chuck Marlowe.
This is it for the sprint to the checkered flag. The brakes screech. They look underneath, make sure the air vents are clear. The fuel tanks are hooked up. No time for tires. It's going to be on this set or nothing at all. The tanks are up, and he's on his way. Peeling up, and we smell the rubber.
As Al Unser heads back into the circuit, maintains his third position, 173 laps complete for him, the leader a full lap ahead as they push Danny Sullivan's car now back to the garage area. It's done for the day. We reported that to you earlier. Mario Andretti slowing down on the main straightaway, and this could be the question answered. Number five slows on the main stretch, and Roberto Guerrero goes into the lead. Mario Andretti slows down. Jerry Baker.
He is down below the white and yellow line. The crowd comes up in as one. He is in the short chute. He's obviously, if not without power, he has very little. He's coasting over in front of the expensive suites in number two. Let's go back to you, Paul, in the tower.
Well, you can imagine what that news meant in the Guerrero pit. We have two people there. Let's first go to Lou Palmer. Lou Palmer is there.
New Year's Eve in the Guerrero pit. These guys are incredibly happy. A big cheer went up. Let's hear a yell. Yeah, that's their race now, Paul.
And at the other end of the pit area, the attitude is different. Let's go to Gary Gerald.
Paul, it's like somebody had sliced it with a knife. The heads are down. They're waiting for the car to come around. They want to diagnose the problem. Of course, nobody knows, perhaps except Mario, and he himself may not know. But it's abject depression. The man who hadn't won since 69, the man who had dominated the month of May, in trouble in the final miles of this Indianapolis 500. And as we peer through this large stack of Goodyear tires, they're over the wall waiting. Tyler Alexander and the crew trying to find out what the problem is for Mario.
As Mario is on the pit road, Roberto Guerrero is the man we watch for to pick up the position of the leader of the Indianapolis 500. And Mario Andretti rolls to the pits. And his lap now being burned away. Roberto Guerrero and Al Unser definitely on the charge as Mario Andretti rolls to a stop. Let's go back to Gary Gerald.
Well, the car has just come down off the jacks. Now the rear cowling comes off. Mario looked directly this way, made eye contact with Tyler Alexander and Huey. And they're over here on the wall. Mario Illion is also scrambling as the entire crew scrambles. And, Paul, I'm sorry for the loss of the sentence here, but we're almost in the middle of the action. But we saw Mario make eye contact. He shook his head side to side. It was one of those negative responses that indicates Mario Andretti most likely will not win this 500.
And as Roberto Guerrero comes onto the main straight now, he is behind Al Unser, and he comes past, passes Al Unser, and now puts a full lap on second place, Al Unser. Let's go back to the Guerrero pits. Lou Palmer.
What they're going to have coming up is a time stop. They know exactly how much fuel they need, not all of it. They're going to get in and out of this pit in just about one lap from now.
They have still laps, 20 of them, to wait out and see if Roberto Guerrero can be the winner of the 500. Remember, it appeared that Mario was a shoe-in, but then all of a sudden it lets go. But still, they try with Mario Andretti. Let's go down to Mario Andretti's pit and Gary Gerald.
While the bodywork was off the rear, they made a change in some part back in the area of the turbocharger. Paul, I couldn't see it from my vantage point. With the crowd in the background cheering, they fired the engine and are waiting to try to get away once again.
And with that time stop, you heard Lou Palmer talk about it. Here it is now. Lou?
Roberto Guerrero is in. They top him. Sonny Myers is extra man on this side of the wall, my side, in order to hold the hose, in order to be sure all of the fuel they need does get in. They're cooking at that gauge now, getting closer and closer to it. Looking, two, three, one. Now they're about to shut off. There goes the first, second, third switch closed. They've disengaged. He stalls the engine. Now, back the inertial starter. It is in. Roberto Guerrero fires again. It catches quickly. Luckily, they push him off, and won't catch fully. Now it does engage. Now it doesn't. A very slow pull away at the south end of the pit. Come on, it has stopped, virtually stopped.
And Al Unser picks up the lead of the race as Guerrero stops on the pits. Al Unser picks up the race. The crowd comes to a stand. Guerrero sits silently in the pits. Let's go back to Lou Palmer. Lou.
All right. We're looking now at the car being pushed back this way. They are not only losing some distance on the track, they are losing time. Here he comes now. They are pushing right back to the pit area. Now they are going further back. Roberto Guerrero attempting to get the car precisely positioned. No, they're going to try to push start it. That's what they're doing. Like pushing a kid down the hill with a sled. The inertial starter isn't being used. It's plain old foot power. He catches. He is on his way. Roberto Guerrero loses time, but is at least back in the race.
Well, Roberto Guerrero picks up power and comes off into the first turn now. Al Unser is leading the Indianapolis 500, a man who was unemployed 30 days ago and got this ride in the Penske team thanks to the accident involving Danny Ungaias. Al Unser felt terrible about that accident, but the medical crew would not pass on Ungaias, and so the 25 car, an 86 March, Cosworth Power, the team called it the sleeper car. This is the same car, in fact, that won the Meadowlands race last year for Danny Sullivan. Well, it's now out in front at the 500-mile race. A man that many people predicted might be the winner. You simply had to have a driver who knew how to drive smooth and knew how to go on to a victory. Is this the opportunity for Al Unser to become the second four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500-mile race? Roberto Guerrero is back at speed on the circuit. He is running in second place, but he is a full lap down. 184 laps complete. Mario Andretti rolls back out of the pits. Let's go down there for a quick report from Gary Gerald.
Paul, we were just leaning over the shoulder of Adrian Newey. They changed the wastegate on Mario's car. They fired it once. It didn't respond. They worked some more, buttoned up the bodywork, and to a tumultuous roar here, Mario got away, but it was a long, long time in the pit.
And Al Unser, car 25, the whole set turbo machine leads the 500.
Donald Davis says Guerrero's pit problem was a direct result of his encounter with Tony Bettenhausen's wheel on lap 130.
The wheel came off of Tony Bettenhausen's car, was rolling down the track, and Roberto came and hit it head on And that thing just went straight up in the air. And how he managed to avoid any injury is amazing. But apparently it did crack the master cylinder. And so when he came in to make the final stop, he stalled, I think, a couple of times because the master cylinder had been leaking. And so that cost him the race.
Roberto Guerrero comes past Al Unser. So if we would have a yellow light in the next few minutes, then it is very possible that we're going to see a sprint to the finish. Bob Jenkins says there is that possibility. Bob?
There is a very strong possibility. Mario Andretti's car is all but stopped in the middle of turn number four. Now, he doesn't have all that far to go before he reaches the entrance to pit road, but it's going to be a question of whether he does indeed make it on his own power. Personally, I don't think he's going to, and we may be seeing a yellow here momentarily. The car is almost stopped now, just coming out of turn number four. We'll keep our eye on that yellow light.
Oh, Bob, is that car actually in jeopardy where it sits?
No, it is not. It is well off the racetrack. It is on the apron. In fact, it's below the yellow line, which is the furthest inside that you are to drive here. But the yellow light does come on
as
we
yellow's out. The yellow flag flies. I was beginning to question whether or not they would go yellow with less than 10 laps to go. They have done it. That means Roberto Guerrero will move up behind Al Unser, and we will see a sprint to the finish at the Indianapolis 500 with just 8 laps to go. Mario Andretti's car stopped by the edge of the course. Mario tried to get it as far off as he could, and now they try to get Mario Andretti's car off of the racetrack, but they've set up an incredible situation with Roberto Guerrero able now to come up onto the same lap with Al Unser, and we'll watch very carefully, gentlemen, around the turns for the placement of the pace car to see where they space that car out. As Al Unser is the leader of the 500, Roberto Guerrero in second.
Andretti's stalled car set up a late trophy dash between Al Unser and Roberto Guerrero.
Well, if there is someone sitting at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway now, I'd like to meet him because this crowd is to its feet. We are waiting now for the green flag to come out. 194 laps are complete. There are 6 laps to go. Dwayne Sweeney, the starter, holds up his hand with a single finger indicating one more lap of yellow. Al Unser, car 25, leads the Indianapolis 500. Then there are 6 cars, and then the second place car of Roberto Guerrero. Now the question, Farnelli Jones, do the people in between Al and Guerrero know the positioning? Will they try and get out of the way and allow a race to occur?
Oh, I think they will. I don't think that they're going to try to interfere. I don't know that they exactly know the situation out there. And, of course, little Al's one of them guys in there, so it may be tough to get around him.
Well, for those of you who are chart keepers, we do apologize that we've not been more up to date on the charts in the past 30-lap intervals, but this has been a most exciting Indianapolis 500, and it looks like we're going to come back to a final 5 laps with a battle for the lead itself. As the lights are now turned off on the pace car, the Chrysler LeBaron, begins to accelerate, and Roberto Guerrero begins now to think about how he will come back to what may be the most important green flag in his life. And Al Unser is looking at the possibility of a fourth Indianapolis 500 equaling A.J. Foyt. This is a man who has not driven another race this season and had no opportunity to drive when the month of May started. The crowd begins to cheer. Al Unser picks up the pace. The green flag flies. And here we go. The final 5 laps of the Indianapolis 500. Roberto Guerrero comes well down to the inside. Picks off one car. Jerry Baker.
There's not much he can do to make any laps up right here in this corner. He's going to have to gang up on those 5 cars in front of him, including, of course, the leader. They're in the short suit now, heading over to number 2 in front of Howdy Bell. Here comes Guerrero, Howdy.
Our leader flashes by. Guerrero flashes by there. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 cars between himself and Big Al Unser as he drops down to the inside to pick off the 4th of those 4 cars. Larry, what do you see?
Guerrero is flat out flying. He's got it all the way down to the floorboard. He's doing everything he can right now. Al Unser Jr., the next person he must pass. Will Al Jr. block for his dad? They're in turn number 4.
3 cars between first and second, and the car that he has to dispose of next, Roberto Guerrero, that is Al Unser Jr. They're on the straightaway.
It's bright yellow number 25. It leads. Guerrero comes past Al Unser Jr., and now 2 cars separate.
We've seen them racing side by side at number one today, but not so this time. They fall back in line. Still two cars to go to catch the leader. Guerrero is now with number two.
Flashing by is Big Al Unser. The distance separating the two cars, with two cars between them, is about the distance of the short chute as they go down the backstretch now, zooming toward turn three, Larry.
Al Sr.'s got it all the way down, as does Roberto Guerrero. It's an awesome lead right now for Al Sr. Guerrero, trying everything he can to catch him.
It's going to be a difficult job for Roberto Guerrero to catch Al Unser Jr. Al Unser Sr., that is. Al Unser continues to pull away, it appears, from this vantage point.
Al Unser indeed accelerates across the line. Guerrero continues to try to the first turn.
No pressure on the three-time winner. Al Unser's there. Here comes Guerrero there. Two cars in between, and he stretched that lead by at least 100 yards.
The leader flashes by right here, Johnny Rutherford, who's not in contention, and there goes Dick Simon. Then there is Roberto Guerrero, about a three-second differential as they streak down this long black ribbon of asphalt called the backstretch toward turn three.
I hope somebody gives this guy a full-time ride if he wins his fourth Indianapolis 500. Al Sr.'s got a two-turn lead now in Roberto Guerrero.
Al Unser Sr. in turn number four. He comes onto the main straightaway looking for that white flag.
The white flag comes out. Are we looking at another four-time winner in the making? Al Unser has started his last 2.5 miles.
Next Friday is Al Unser's 48th birthday. What a wonderful birthday gift this would be. There is Rutherford. There is Simon. There goes Guerrero, and he continues to stretch that lead, Howdy.
Yes, the lead has increased as he goes by right now. And coming here right here is Roberto Guerrero, as the white flag has dropped and they're up the backstretch perhaps for the final time as they go into turn three.
Al Unser Sr. had not led here since 1983. He's going to win his fourth Indianapolis 500. He's got one more turn to negotiate and he'll be home free.
He's only the third driver in history to win the race from the 20th starting position to call the winner. Here's the voice of the 500, Paul Page.
Finishing 4.4 seconds back, the Penske team scores another victory. Al Unser has won the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Al Unser had no employment at all. The car originally assigned to Danny Ungaias, and then an accident. Ungaias, the doctor said, could not race the 500. Then Al Unser steps into a car the team called the Sleeper, and it was the car that Al Unser liked so much last year, a March, powered by a Cosworth engine. Al Unser has propelled that machine to victory. Second place goes to Roberto Guerrero. Rookie Fabrizio Barbaza comes home in third place. Al Unser Jr. in fourth. And Gary Bentenhausen with a magnificent finish in fifth position.
Next on 560.
I couldn't touch him. There wasn't anything that I could do with Mario at all. He just run off and left all of us. There wasn't anything we could do with him.
Welcome back to 560.
1987.
On FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
Al Unser wins the 1987 Indianapolis 500, tying him with A.J. Foyt with four career wins. Big Al started the month unemployed, but Donald Davis says Unser's calm demeanor combined with fate helped him land the winning ride.
Sometime during the winter, Roger Penske called Al and said, look, we've got an offer to run Danny Ungaias, and it's a really good deal for us, and we don't want to run four cars. And so we've got Danny Sullivan and we got Rick Mears, and so Al, sorry. And I always admired Al Unser because he never said a thing. Instead of mouthing off or slamming the door or slamming down the phone or whatever it was, he remained calm. And the whole spring, people were offering him cars, which he politely declined. And as the month got going, he was here, spent a lot of time in the Penske camp, and people still were offering him cars, and he turned all of them down. And so when the accident with Danny Ungaias happened, and I don't know that Penske was even obligated to run a third car, but they decided, well, Al's here, let's run him. And so I think with a lot of people, if they had, you know, reacted angrily at being released, then, you know, they wouldn't have been in the position that he put himself in to win his fourth 500.
Well, I had a little problems in the beginning. I just couldn't get, I guess, myself dialed into the car, nor the car into me. And Finally, after the first pit stop, we changed tires, and that seemed to bring it all together. I guess I made up my mind I better start doing the right thing, but by then I was already a lap down.
But as the race wore on, it seemed, at least to the observer, some of us, that Andretti would be uncatchable. Was that so?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't touch him. There wasn't anything that I could do with Mario at all. He just run off and left all of us. There wasn't anything we could do with him.
But you were running behind Guerrero and then took a race.
Well, Guerrero I knew was going to be a problem. Guerrero was going to be a handful for me because for some reason I just couldn't pass anybody down the straightaway real fast, but I was working pretty good in the corners.
You kept pushing is what you did, I think, and put the pressure on hard.
Well, that's the name of the game.
Underwood race in the 500 five more times, finishing third in 1988 and retiring during practice for the 1994 race. Guerrero would start the 500 11 more times, winning the pole in 1992 and finishing fifth in 1996. For 560, I'm Tony Donahue.